Ah, yes, the Thursday miracle has occurred. The dirt, the fertilizer, and the plants are all gone. The couches have come in. The lights have been dimmed. The candles are on.
Some would say that's when you bring in the dirt.
Well, no, no, no. Patrick Doyle's here.
We need to get honest and get down to the dirt.
Patrick Doyle is here. Yes, he's a one-man stimulus package of the head and the heart. Anyway, he's here to take your call, 776-5368. Boy, you got, you've taken on a big one today. Pride.
Yeah, I like shooting at elephants.
Yeah, well, I have to tell you, the subject of pride is huge because, wouldn't you say our culture is run amok because of pride and greed?
Yeah, I would say that there's a tremendous amount of that.
And, it's hard. This is a big topic because what is pride? What do you describe pride to be?
I'd like to tell you a couple of things. Let's just list a couple of things that Scripture says about pride.
All right, let's do that.
Okay.
Right.
Before I get into the specific Scripture, but Satan was thrown out of heaven because he said what? I will be like God. Mm. And God said, No, you won't.
Bye-bye.
And Proverbs is full of instruction about pride. It says pride goes before destruction, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. God opposes the proud, mm-hmm. but he gives grace to the humble, mm-hmm. right? So the idea of pride from a biblical point of view is really setting yourself up as God. You want to be like God. You want to have control. You want to do it your way, okay? There's a spiritual pride there.
Ooh.
And, when we start looking at it from that perspective, I think it puts it in a better framework because somebody who's arrogant or prideful in a relationship, it's because they see themselves as the most important thing. And how can you adequately worship God if you're the most important thing?
Well, I just want people to see it my way.
Well, I'm not. You don't. Seeing it your way doesn't necessarily mean pride.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, then I'll stay at it
because you know, in my world, you know, in counseling, I do want certain people to see things a certain way, but I can do that without any pride. Okay. I can do that with love, and so pride is about you putting yourself first. It's about your way being the most important. It's about you setting yourself up as God in whatever framework that is. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, what I see in many, many situations is people who are unable to change, they're unable and or unwilling to look at the truth of what God has said. And they want to use the truth that they see as the standard. And this is why I get into a lot of conflict with people in counseling is because they come in and I get a whole picture, not just their picture, and I start to say, well, I see this, I see that. And I've never talked to somebody who is defensive and in denial and full of themselves when I tell them the truth, who they say, wow, gee, thanks, I really appreciate that. Usually they are very upset and angry. So one of the things you can tell if somebody's prideful is they don't listen.
Oh.
Yeah. They always have their own way. Now, somebody who doesn't listen cannot listen in a very nice way. Yeah. It doesn't always have to be the guy who's the arrogant, big mouth guy or gal. It can be somebody who's always really nice, but they don't really ever listen. They hear what you say, but then they just keep going. They're like a straight line. They don't deviate. Somebody who's humble is able to accept another way. Now again, I want to make a
or at least be courteous.
Well, courteousness without change can end up in a worse kind of pride. I'd much rather have somebody who is just going to be out there with it than who's nice and sort of sneaky about it, because then it takes me longer to figure it out. but I would like to say this too, that humility is not about being a doormat. Okay. The Bible says that Moses was the meekest man to ever live, right? Mm-hmm. Was Moses a doormat?
No, he was a leader.
Exactly. And he took on every difficult issue that the Israelites were having. Meek does not mean, oh, okay, I'll just do it your way. Okay, yeah, I'll just always take – that's not meekness. Meekness is strength that's under control.
So you're saying there is a difference between pride and healthy self-esteem.
Yes, absolutely. So the person who has their trust in God, who has their value system in the fact that God has said, I love you and I've paid for your sins – that person lives their life in response. The person who says that my value is dependent on what I do and whether or not I get my way, okay, that leads to a very prideful, self-centered way of living. And what I'm talking about is, spiritually speaking, you can have an opinion and have a strong opinion and have humility at the same time. Mm-hmm. Pride is when you don't have an option.
I want to go back to something that you said, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
You said that the people are prideful, those who try to be like God.
Yes. Now, they set themselves up as
okay.
God.
Okay. We were created in the image of God.
Correct.
And God became man so that man can become God. Now, is it something that it is okay for us to want to be like God, but with
yes.
God's help? Is that what you're trying to say?
We want to be like God, but remember, He's the creator,
mm-hmm.
and we're the created.
Yeah.
There's always that hierarchy. And yes, and He says, I will make you like me.
Mm-hmm.
He will do it.
Yeah, and I think that wasn't it the kind of the essence of the fall, is
yes.
that they wanted to become like God. Pretty much that was their obedience,
right.
But they wanted to do it by themselves.
I'm
talking about the first people.
Yes, and they wanted to do it their way,
mm-hmm.
and cut sort of God out of the equation. And here's my thing, is that God is in charge of the outcome, and He's in charge of what's going to happen. He made us. He made this world. He's fully within His rights to do whatever He wants with it, without question. And so when you understand that that's who He is, it makes living in humility a lot easier. And here's the other thing that I see all the time, is that people understand that God is in charge, that He's God,
mm-hmm.
but they don't trust His goodness. And when people don't trust His goodness, they don't want to follow Him. They want to do it their way because they think they know better. Now, that's when we back up a little bit, that's absurd. I see through a glass dimly on a good day. I don't know what's going to happen in 5 minutes. I'm not omnipotent. I sometimes fall into thinking I am. Okay? But God is, through His Holy Spirit, faithful to remind me, no, son. Okay? So it's like I put it in terms of like a good father taking care of a young child. Young child doesn't know what's going to happen or what to do or where to go or how to do it. They're absolutely dependent on their dad. And that's how it is spiritually. To live outside of pride, we have to be in that dependence. And that's where we struggle as human beings. That's the sin nature.
This is very good. And let me just back up and ask you, is there a self-test as to whether or not we're suffering from pride? How do we examine ourselves
on
this one?
I would say go to people that you trust,
mm-hmm.
and ask them to be honest with you. Ask them, do you see me as prideful?
But who gives them the authority to make this decision?
Well, it's not they don't have an authority. They're being asked. So mm-hmm. you get an opinion. Here's the thing. Most people with pride don't have a clear perspective of who they are because they don't take in information. So if you actually are able to ask the question, you're on your way out of pride. If you could ask that question, and I remember one time in my Kill and Build a Group, I asked the question, what do you guys see as my greatest flaw? And they gave me an answer that I was completely surprised by. I didn't see it. But they did, and every man said the same thing. And I'm like, wow, is it that obvious? Like, we've been telling you this for months. I'm like, well, I couldn't hear you. So that perspective, I don't think you can get by just thinking about it. Because if you're struggling with pride, the problem is you're in charge. You have to humble yourself and ask for input. And I would say also, you do this with God. God, convict me.
One of the greatest lessons I think I've learned in the last 10 years, so I haven't known it all my life.
Uh-huh.
You just don't have to win every argument.
That's for sure.
In fact, why bother?
Well, there's a proverb that says, it's the glory of a king to overlook a matter. What does that mean? It means you have to know when to pick your battles. You know, and it goes back to being wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. Mm-hmm. Some things are not worth arguing about. They're just not. Can you trust God for the outcome without you having to make sure it gets where you want it to go? Right? Or can I trust God in that? And that's a case-by-case thing. And where people get in trouble, from my point of view, is they try to make a blanket rule. Well, you always overlook this, and you never overlook that. And you have to take it as it comes. One time you might overlook it. Another time you might not. And that's depending on what the Holy Spirit is doing and what the circumstances are and who the players are. It's all contingent on hearing Him. And this is the thing that I want to say. Hearing Him is made possible through humility. It's not when you're full of yourself and you got your own agenda and you're running 100 miles an hour and you don't have any time to listen, you are not going to hear God very well.
You think God's using the pressure of the day as a tool to break believers of their pride?
I think it's making it worse.
Really? And how?
I think all the technology and all this, the perception of control that we have, you know, I can push a button, I can get in touch with somebody instantaneously, I can handle that, I can write an email, I can get this stuff done. All that gives us the illusion, and it speaks to our sin nature, which the Bible talks about. You know, every man has gone astray and sought his own way. The heart is exceedingly wicked, deceitful above all things, David said. I was born in sin, sin from my mother's youth, my mother's womb. My point is that our natural state, apart from the influence of the Holy Spirit, is we're going to take care of it.
No, but God does send us suffering and all the pressure so that we'll turn to Him.
Yes. If He reveals to us in that Himself, things change. But what I'm saying is, on a blanket rule, all of the perception that I have, that people have, that they can get stuff done, builds up that pride and builds up that expectation that I need to use this technology to get it done, to take care of it, rather than being in a place of waiting and trusting and dependence. Remember, this is one of my basic theories from Scripture, that the pinnacle of religion is getting it done, taking care of it, making it happen, being good, whatever. The pinnacle of spirituality is humility, is dependence, is brokenness. When you look at yourself in the context of who God is, you're not going to come out with a, hey, look at me. You're going to come out, you know, gasping for air.
Where humility is clearly a virtue and I think a genuine attribute of the character of Christ, is it attractive to the world?
Humility?
Yeah.
Yes, I believe people are very attracted to humility. I don't believe they're always comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. But I do believe it's a very attractive quality. And I think it was one of the things about Jesus that was most attractive. Because here you have infinite power and humility completely, perfectly joined. You know, I don't know how – I mean, think about this. The God of the universe put Himself in the flesh of a man – and then God the Son submitted Himself, God, perfection, submitted Himself to the Father. Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the example we have, is to submit. Jesus said, I only do what the Father says.
One of my favorite saying by Elder Samson, is a Russian elder, he said, The servant of God is the freest person on earth, yeah. Or like the true servant, yes, of God, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gets
exactly.
the greatest freedom.
Right, and that's the spiritual reality, is in serving a loving, good, holy, beautiful, glorious, unattainable, worthy God, you have your greatest freedom. It's exactly true, because the truth be told, you cannot handle this life on your own. God never presents Himself in the Scripture outside of community, ever. You got the Holy Trinity, then you got Jesus coming to earth, and you got Him picking 12 guys to hang out with, and then out of those 12, He had 3 that were on His inner circle, so to speak. He never portrays Himself as isolated. it's always within the context of relationship. And this is the thing that we struggle with, because relationship means vulnerability. Relationship means that I have to, you know, maybe submit myself to somebody. Relationship means that I might get hurt. Relationship means a lot of things that are outside of my control.
Those of us who have been through church splits.
Oh, God bless you. I pray for you.
Yeah.
Another broken relationship.
Huh? Well, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, it is.
It is. Exactly right.
And it's hard to start a new one.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but it usually is a result of pride. And, mm-hmm. and quite frankly, it shows up on both sides. Nobody's willing to turn the other cheek. You know what I mean? It becomes very ugly. The world sees that. And I say that as one example. The other one is that you're talking about prideful people being controllers.
Yes.
You know, and... I don't know how you do it. What, you know?
I don't either.
As a lay counselor, I guess I could say, you know, my experience in counseling is that you almost have to, you almost want to send them out the door. Well, go out and crash and then bring the pieces back. It's easier to work with that than what you're bringing through the door now.
Right. Well, and to your point, Paulina, is that God will use difficult and painful circumstances to reveal your need for humility. Well,
but I think a lot of people understand that I trust God.
Right.
And then they do say that and they try to believe it. But once something happened and they messed up or someone else messed up, it's really hard for them to comprehend how they feel like that's it.
Right.
You know, I already messed up. What's next?
Yeah. And see, this gets to the fact that they don't really believe in God's goodness. And I'll say this, as someone who was severely arrogant and prideful in my lifetime, I mean, so I'm not talking about this like I'm from in some ivory tower. I mean, I was your worst nightmare in terms of arrogance early in my life, and particularly after I got saved and I took all that worldly pride. And remember, I was a kid at 16 living in my own apartment on the beach in Fort Myers, Florida, selling drugs. I mean, I was well on my way to accomplishing my childhood dream of being a drug cartel head. Okay, so you can't do all that and not have some pride. And so when I got saved in my late teens, I became very self-righteous. And I would land in your chest with all fours and tell you exactly what was wrong with you without an ounce of love. And that pride was my attempt to take care of it myself. And when God revealed to me that he doesn't need me, that all the sins of the world are taken care of by him, not me, and I don't have to correct everybody, and every truth I know I don't have to tell everybody, what it did was it helped me trust his redemption instead of me feeling like I had to take care of everything that I saw, right? And so remember, God is the Redeemer. He will redeem the evil that's done to you. People will do evil against you. People will be prideful. People will hurt you. But God is the one who will redeem it. And he doesn't tell you in advance how he will do that.
All right, Frank, you got a quick comment?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah, basically it's been my observation that when the light is shed, this light of Jesus Christ in the Bible is shed on someone, it's directly proportionate to how much wounding they had and how much to allow that light to expose the things that's happened in their life. And I think that's connected to pride. What I mean by that is I have a good friend of mine in California, and he wants to win every argument. He can't tell him anything. He's been really severely hurt and damaged as a child, and he's protective.
Right, exactly.
And you can't get beyond that.
Right, exactly. Great point, Frank. And that was the other thing I want to talk about today, which is that people who are profoundly wounded oftentimes look like very hardened individuals. Okay, they're like Frank said, they don't listen. They'll take the wrong side of an argument just to do it. Okay, but with somebody who's wounded, what you have is severe protection. Now, they're unaware of it, but if I'm deeply wounded and I have no confidence that people are going to do the right thing because of my wounding, because of my experience, I've had experiences where people have really hurt me, and I believe that's how people are, then when you come around, I'm going to put you off. So a good offense is sometimes the best defense. And here's the process of healing for that, which is that if someone can see God for who he is, that he's safe— God is the only actual safe place known to man. He's the only one who's good and true and right and just. People are evil, even Christians. They're still human. They're still this side of heaven. We're still sinful. We're not perfect. Now, we might be better than we were, but you can't – there's no one except for God who won't do the wrong thing. So if you don't find God as your safe place, then who's it left to? You.
Mm-hmm. What if you see that one of your family members is prideful? What do you do?
Great question. It all depends on somewhat of the context of a relationship. But here's what I would do, is I would speak the truth in love, knowing that I risk losing the relationship. But I don't want to continue to take their hurt and their whatever they're dishing out. At some point, I got to tell them, hey, you know, that's not okay for me. You can't talk to me that way. I don't really agree with that. If God convicts you to speak to them about their sin, then you do it. If God doesn't convict you, I say you just keep a boundary and you don't say anything. You're nice, but you're distant.
And pray for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the other thing I wanted to say today, is one of the greatest remedies for pride is forgiveness. One of the things that I see is people are wounded, like Frank said, and then we harbor bitterness, right? Bitterness creates a hardened heart. Hardened hearts are proudful because hardened hearts are saying, I'm going to take care of it. Instead of trusting God for the justice, instead of trusting God to take care of the outcome, I'm going to do it. I'm going to protect myself. I'm not going to. And so when you start to forgive those people of those wounds, the forgiveness process is really you trusting God. Forgiveness is really about you trusting God for the justice, you trusting God for the redemption, you trusting God for the outcome, instead of you holding on to it and making sure that you take care of it. And if you do that, I guarantee your intimacy with Him will increase, your trust in His goodness will increase. And let me tell you something, this is always a process. It's never an event. You know, I might have an event this morning, and by the end of the day, I need another one. Mm-hmm. new mercies I see every morning. Why? Because they're needed.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, let's not get into the idea that, you know, well, I prayed that prayer, and so I should be okay now.
Well, St. Paul says pray seasonally.
Yeah,
unseasonally. All the time.
Right.
I mean, unseasonally. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, he didn't say pray and you'll be fine.
Exactly. And so that leads us to that idea of process. It's something – remember, your relationship with God is just that. It's a relationship. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be stagnant or rigid. What I mean by rigid is sort of regimented. It's organic. It's not the same, which means you have to keep engaging it instead of saying, well, I had my quiet time this morning and now I'm good. No, I want to be with God all day long, because the truth is, if I'm really honest, I need Him all day long, because I'm crazy. I'm a sinner. I need His influence. I need the Holy Spirit to convict me. I need to be able to repent of my sin. I need to be able to know what's going on with other people and how to handle that. The wisdom isn't stored up in me. It's something I need fresh all the time. And so you can't have that if you're fully yourself.
But isn't it wonderful to know that someone is in charge? I mean, to me, it just makes so much sense and makes me feel so good.
Yes.
To wake up and know that even if I mess up, even if things go wrong, it's, you know, God will take care of it.
Yes.
And it helps.
It's true. But here's where people get hung up on that, Paulina, is that they have had experiences in life where people who were supposed to take care of them didn't, or hurt them. And so it makes it very hard. They look through the filter of that pain at God. And they, not consciously, but subconsciously, they're suspicious. And what I'm saying is, when you sort of take that free fall of trust in God, you'll see there's no other way to see. There's going to be a risk. There's going to be that free fall. You take that free fall of trust with God, and then you will see that He is good. And like you said, then you come to that freedom where it's like, no matter what happens, I'm good. He's going to take care of me.
Yeah, but you don't understand. God's pretty busy, and I got to get this straightened out today, so I'm going to have to
do it. Oh, don't you worry, Perry. He'll find time for you.
No, you know, you misunderstand, Perry, if that's what you think. God isn't busy. He's perfect.
He's busy with us.
He
taking care of myself.
He's He's already taken care of it. He's not worried about anything. And listen, your problem, he's intimately aware of, and he's working on in his time frame. What you need to work on is accepting the way he's doing it instead of wanting it to be done faster or another way. He is perfect, and who of us knows enough to call God into question?
Well, okay.
Is that a question for Perry?
That's a question for everybody. Look, he is God.
See, this is we have to pick this up again, but yeah. Part of this struggle is, and I want to be careful here because I don't want to sound critical, but one of the things that is alarming to me is that some of the theology out there is based upon...
You.
Well, but it's also based upon telling God what to do. In
exactly.
other words, since God, it's in his word, therefore, God, I can command you to do this. And I'm going, whoa.
Well, there's spiritual pride on a stick right there.
Well, there is a synergy, working together with God. God does his will, and you do your work.
Yeah. But your work is always responsive to what he's doing. And to think that you know enough to tell him what he needs to do is an example of pride.
All right. Hey, thanks, man.
You bet.